get him up here sometimes and give a word, but we just really appreciate that so much. We had a great trip. I gained 5 pounds. I don't even want to make that public, but I thought I would. Yeah, but I was just letting the church know. We did go to Paula Deen's, and I met her. Well, the cardboard cutout. I was hoping Sharon would be here. I could kind of need a little bit. Anyway, we went off the diet. I prayed for my food. I prayed for the blessed and forgiveness in the same prayer, because I knew what was about to happen. Anyway, when you go to Paula Deen's, you don't go up there with any kind of plan other than to be miserable. All right. But anyway, there's going to be a lot in this tonight. Hopefully, it'll meet you where you are. I made a couple notes in the singing tonight. I will put my trust in you alone. That one song, I think it was the second song. Think about this. I was preaching somewhere on New Year's night, and one of the singers said this, and it resonated so much with me. I wish I'd wrote it down, but, you know, they were singing, and then they took a break, and they said it right at the end before we closed. And they said, you know, before Jesus saved you, he's me and you, you were dead. Do you know what, dead people, you know what they can do? Go ahead and say it. It's easy. Nothing. So Jesus is our everything because we were dead in our sin. And there was absolutely, I want you to get this, just let it sink in. There was absolutely nothing we could do. As I know we all, most of us in this room, have a little bit of a Baptist background. And we almost want to think of ourselves as like, well, Jesus came along and helped me out. We were dead in our sins and trespasses. And when we seen who he was and called upon his name and believed in our heart and mind, he did it all. Man, I hope y'all get that. And I hope that adds, when it adds to the, I hope you understand how much you were forgiven, how much you were loved, and will you deal that out to other people? Then I retitled the whole message tonight, "This Old Life is a Part of the Plan." That song goes right along with the message in that this old life is, and I want you to write that down, this old life is a part of the plan. That's very, very crucial for us to take. And what I want you to understand is every part of this life is a part of God's ultimate plan. Especially if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, every bit of your life is a part of God's plan to bring forth the second coming of Jesus Christ. Ever success, ever failure, ever falling in love and ever crushing of your heart, every birth and every death, every birthday party and every funeral home visit, when somebody gets the great news that they got healed and they got a great report, to the person who doesn't get the great report, it's still a part of God's plan. Man, I hope y'all get that. We're going to be in not a lot of places, probably about 5. And I'm going to give y'all some bonus stuff, if y'all don't mind. I didn't preach this weekend, so. Genesis 44, real quick. I want to give you something. This is extra. This doesn't go, it will go along with the message, but I just wanted to throw this in there. There were 3 things that kind of happened to Joseph throughout his journey. He went to 3 places. He went to Potiphar's house. He went to the prison. He went to the palace. I give all 3 of those with a P, so it's easy to remember. Potiphar's, prison, palace. I want you to, verse 44, verse 30, I want y'all to see this. Now, hopefully this might not resonate with everybody. It's kind of like Scott's song. I don't know if it'll resonate with everybody, but I hope it does with you. Now therefore, when I came to thy servant, is that right? Nope, wrote it down wrong. Mm-mm. We don't have to do the exact verse. I'll just give it to you this way. Joseph, when he brought all of his brothers in, and he was he found out that the youngest one had the cup, and he sent them back home, and he done the whole thing. Came back. When they came back, and he realized that the brothers had changed, right? Their heart. They were going to sacrifice for Benjamin, right? And he was standing there, and he recognized the brothers, but they didn't recognize him. He separated himself from them, went into a room, and you know what he did? Do you know what he did when he separated himself in that room? Does anybody know? Cried. Wept bitterly. Listen, guys, I'm telling you this. It doesn't say he wept when his brothers put him in slavery. It didn't say he wept at Potiphar's house. It didn't say he wept in the prison. It didn't say that he wept when he got out of prison and went up to the mansion or up to the palace. But when he came in the presence of his brothers, he wept. All the things that happened to him didn't cause him to break before God, but who it happened to him by. I hope y'all get this. This ain't a huge, huge message on this part right here, but sometimes you can do everything in this life, but guess what? When people hurt you, certain people hurt you, it's devastating. People watch Joseph. When I read Joseph, I constantly go, wow, wow, what an amazing walk for God. Until he gets to the place where he stands in front of his brothers and he can't even control himself. Because you know what? Sometimes you can operate. The whole house is burning down. The world's on fire. Your life's upside down. And you're sitting there putting out every fire, building back every wall. The whole family's watching and you think like you got it all together. But then all of a sudden you'll get to a place and go and just fall apart. Because you look around and you go, you know what? It wasn't about the things that I had to do or the things that I had to go through. But those relationships. Amen? I don't know if that helps you or not, but praise God. Aren't you glad? Here I am. I don't know. I've been doing this for going on 17 years. I've been preaching. I'm not bragging. This is not a braggadocious thing. But I've been preaching for about 4 to 5 times a week for the last 15 years. Right? And there are some things that I wish somebody would have just told me. I love good messages. I love words that hit home. I love Holy Ghost chill bumps. I love running, shouting, crying. I love emotion. But I like it sometimes when people tell me, be expecting of some things that are in the Word of God that will be in your life. There are times when you can have every title, you can do a job well done, but have a hole in your heart the size of Texas. You can have a broken place in your life and be competent. Amen? Everybody can look at you and go, man, great job. Stands tall, stands firm. Wonderful woman, strong man. But there's times when you fall apart because things have happened that you can't even comprehend. The people that maybe should have loved you most hurt you most. And when you had to do it all. The life that you live sometimes takes place of the pain until you stand in front of the pain. Man, there's a bigger message there. I might have to go around and dig on that some other time, but man, oh man, is that good. Let's go to Genesis chapter 15 real quick. Genesis chapter 15. Hopefully I got the verse this time. That's awesome. Come back and don't even get the right verse. Genesis 15, 13. Y'all ready to get into the message per se? Genesis 15, 37. Genesis 15, 13. I'm going to mess it up tonight. Just bear with me. I'll learn how to preach again by Sunday morning. Genesis 15:13. And he said unto Abraham, y'all seen that? And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. That's referring to when the children of Israel are going to go into bondage of slavery, right? That's a promise, by the way, to God, right? God promises Abraham, your seed is going to go into captivity. In that captivity, in that slavery, the Jewish people grow into a people, actually. They go in about 12 to 13, maybe 14 people. They come out almost a million. Amen? They grew through the persecution of slavery. Okay? So I want y'all to get that. But what when you first hear something like that, when you get the promise, when you get a promise from God or you get a word from God, sometimes we can think to ourselves, okay, all right, I can handle that. Until you start realizing that this promise is not going to come to pass until your great, great grandson is the one who's going to be dealing with it, and that's Joseph. Amen? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then one of the sons, Joseph is the youngest son, so it's his great, great grandson, right? One of them who's going to go through that. And and you're sitting here going, why are you telling us this? What does this make any sense? Because I want you to know, from as your pastor in what I believe to be the end times. I don't know if it's the end times for the whole world, but I believe we're running close to end times as far as what we see as the United States of America and the way it will be going forward. Because I'm telling you this, we're not in the Bible. There's not a mention of us. There's not a place. You know, the United States of America stands up with Israel and they fight right up to the end, and then I come back, you know, whatever the case may be. We are not mentioned, so we're not there. So we have to become less than the world's most dominant force. Right? That just has to happen. And that sounds good. That sounds good. To me, I've been preaching this and knowing this ever since I've been saved and since I was a kid. Come, Lord Jesus. Until I start thinking, wait a minute, I've got a son, now I've got a granddaughter. Amen? Now we start looking at our children. We're going, whoa, 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 wait a minute. I want the Lord to come back, but could we make it hastily? Could we just go from me and then right in it, it's all going to heaven together? But maybe we've got to fall away, but it's going to affect your children more than anybody else. Can I just say this? I want y'all to get this right here while I'm preaching this. We need to, not anybody else, not the rest of the world, Flat Top Church right here in Soddy Daisy, Tennessee, right here on this mountain, we need to start telling our children straight up hard truths, real gospel truths, real gospel things that's going to last through hard times, because I believe we got hard times coming. And I'm going to tell you right now, some people are going to fall away from believing God, assembling in God, doing things with God. We need to tell our children, look, you trust in Jesus if it costs you everything. Amen? So we see this. Y'all don't have to go here. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 39 next, but I want to go to Romans 8:28. Because I think this has a lot. This is a life verse. If you need a life verse, this would probably be it. This will go back to the kind of the title of this. This old life is a part God's plan. And we know, listen to this, this is a great verse, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. That's the key to that verse, right? All things don't work good to everybody. All things work for the good to them that love God, to them who are called or the called according to His purpose. Amen. Listen to that. The ones who love God and the ones that are called to His purpose. I want you to let this sink in and settle in your mind right now. Everything that happens to you in your life is for your good. It's for God's good. That's tough. That is a tough line, but it's an absolute truth. All right? So everything that's going to happen in your life and going forward in this country, in this world, I want you to know this, it's for the good. God ain't taking his eye off the church. God ain't taking his eye off of you. But what we have to realize is God is not above letting some people walk through some tough times. Go to Genesis 39, like I said. Genesis 39. And I'm going to close that off with a promise to the New Testament church, which is us. Genesis 39:1. And Joseph was brought down. Do y'all see that? There's going to be some stuff right here that's really going to help you. We're only going to get about 8 verses in here, I hope, maybe 10. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him off the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Okay, so he enters Egypt a slave, okay? I'm kind of jumping in the story, mid-story, okay? The promise that we have is the promise of Abraham, but he also has a dream from God that he's established his whole life around as he is going to be above his brethren, right, his brothers, and he is ultimately going to be established by the Lord in some kind of office that is above his family, above the Jewish people, and that's a fact. That's what he knows it, he's seen it, he never takes his eye off that promise, even though his circumstances change. Y'all need to, hey, listen, we've got promises too, and we need to remind ourselves not to take our, even when times get hard and things get rough and we're walking through a tough valley in life, that our promises don't go void because of the circumstances we're in. So he comes down to Egypt as a slave. Look at verse 2. This blew me away when I was going through this again the last couple of days. And the Lord was with Joseph. Whew. That's enough right there, guys. That's enough. The Lord was with Joseph. I want you to get this. I mean, lock this in. I'm a pastor. I preach here. I want you to attend here. I want you to show up as many times as you can. But I want you to know if everything goes wrong, God can be with you wherever you are. Man, I'm glad to hear that. Amen? I'm glad that we don't have to come to a certain destination to be around God. I'm glad we didn't have to be up there with the other 11 brothers and dad and mom to be there with God. Guess what? When he was getting pulled down into Egypt, God was in the line with him. God was walking on the line with him. Boy, guys, man, this I know we preach this stuff all the time. And we look at it, but then the moment we run into a situation in life, we wonder where God is. There's no way God would allow Joseph, the dreamer, to be put into a pit, then sold into slavery, then marched down to Egypt. Yes, he will. If that's what it's going to take to fulfill the promise that he told Abraham. That's what it's going to, listen, this whole thing, that's what it's going to take to bring forth Jesus the first time. Anything that's going to bring forth Jesus, God will do it. And listen, when we get to heaven, every time Jesus was brought forth in our lives, we will sit in heaven and go, amen. What I mean by that, any time that you were a revelation to somebody else about who Jesus was and you play your role, no matter how insignificant, how painful, how great, how terrible. We were on this mission trip. I heard this man say, he talked about somebody witnessing to people. He said this kid had went on a mission trip. And he came back so excited, and he wanted to tell all of his friends about Jesus. And he came in the room, and he says, Jesus, he died for you, and you should just trust him. And he said, he's like, I failed. I miserably failed. Came back all excited, knew all this stuff, been taught, been shown how to witness, this mission trip is all about winning souls. And I came into all my friends back at home, and I told trust Jesus and walked out of the room. But guess what? The man in the room that he told that to, it never got out of his heart and mind. That man became a minister, an evangelist, and won so many people to the Lord. He's still in missionary work today. Because as soon as the man left, he's like, that was so weird. What was he even saying? But he said as he laid in the bed that night, he said, Jesus is for you. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to save you. What looked like a total failure was a total success. What sometimes looks like a total failure is a total success. I should have maybe read the next part of the verse, and that would have been perfect segue. But once again, I'm still learning how to preach, I guess, tonight. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Let me read that again, because I hope y'all... I don't even care if we get much further down the road in this message, because I want y'all to really let this sink in. Did y'all get the first part where Jesus is with him? Okay, now watch this right here. Jesus is with him. God's with him. That's the same person. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a... Yeah, wait a minute. And he was a prosperous man. That means successful. Think about that. If you'd ask him, are you successful? Are you prosperous? Right now. No, listen. Right now, are you prosperous? Are you successful? If you would take 10 out of 10 Christians would look at that right there. You're probably still got the handcuff marks on your hands. You've been bought and sold twice. You're standing in a man's house where you are going to be the manager, but you are a, say it, you're a slave. How does God see you? How does the Word of God say he is? Prosperous, successful man. Whew. Does that not blow y'all away? There are going to be times in your Christian walk where everybody, and you included, are going to be like, I am a failure because everybody that's supposed to love me tried to either kill me or sell me into slavery, and my mom and dad don't even know where I am. God says you're prosperous. I'm with you and you're successful. Good. I don't know if you get anything else out of this message, but sometimes you're going to have to go right past your feelings and write down, I am successful. Because I believe in Jesus Christ and I trust Him despite my circumstance. Despite my circumstance. Man, is that not a beautiful... Man, I sat there 4 times, read that over and over again. I'm sitting there going, what in the world? He's just jumped off the slave train. God's saying, I'm with you and you're prosperous. I'm with you and you're a very, if you read that out in an English term, it would say, you're a very successful man. Golly bum. I wish I'd remember that every time I start something new for God. Or every time God's put something on me that's new. And I think, man, I'm going to mess this up. I'm a total failure. Right? But God says, no. I'm with you, and because I'm with you, you're going to be successful. Man, I could just leave on that right now for me. And his master, so watch this verse 3. It keeps on. It's a repetitive. And his master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Who's did he say it? Did he come out and make a big proclamation? Hey, guys! I'm a Hebrew. I'm a Jewish. I'm a believer in God. And he's given me all this stuff. No, the man looked at him and said, this guy, there is a God in heaven who's got his hand on this guy, and I love Potiphar says, I'm going to put this guy in charge of everything I got. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty shrewd move. Who are we putting in charge of the house? This slave we just got. Up there, the Ishmaelites brought him down. Look, sounds like a Hebrew, Greek, I'm a Jewish guy. I don't know. We're just going to put him in. I can just see God working on him. And everything he starts doing in your home is prosperous. right? Everything in your home starts being prosperous. That's a, man, I'm telling you, I love this kind of stuff. And look, I mean, you got to understand, he's probably a teenager. And why I say that, why I put emphasis on that, we have lowered the bar on our kids so far that we act like they're not going to ever reach anything until they're in their 20s. Right? We're trying to push a generation right now that they're not even really adults until they're like 26. I hate to tell you, this is the worst generation for that, because guess what? We used to do a whole lot more when we were a whole lot younger. Amen? We need to get some toughness and some training, especially biblical training, into our church, into our ministries. We need to start giving them some meat. They've had milk. After a little while, it's weird to watch somebody just drink milk. Amen? I'm being honest. Now, listen, I'm just telling you, I love chocolate milk. Yeah, that's good. But praise God, after a while, you get certain age, man, you want some meat. You want some food. Amen? I don't care if it's just macaroni and cheese. We can have the chocolate milk. We can have the milk. We'll have some macaroni and cheese too. Right? You'll move up to something solid. We need to move our younger people to some solid stuff. That way, when all heck breaks loose in their life, they don't fall apart. Amen? They don't run to the world. They run to God. Because this man was a young man, and here he is in all alone, all by himself, and he never melts down on God or himself. Never makes an excuse for himself to go sideways because God ain't doing it his way. There should be just a little note right there. God ain't ever going to do it our way. Amen? I wished he would, but he won't. He ain't never done it my way. He's always done it his way, and it's always perfect. Watch this right here. Verse 4. And Joseph found grace in his sight. Boy, that's a big word, ain't it? And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from time to time that he had to make... Well, let's go back to verse 4. You know what he did? Watch this right here. There's another verse past this one that shows this. He put everything into Joseph's hand, and he said he didn't even know what he had or didn't have except for what that he put in his mouth. You'll see that in a minute as a follow-up verse. You know what that means? Joseph had such a good characteristic that he did not have to be overseen with anything. His character was so rich and so true and so faithful, he just stopped accounting. Dude, how many of y'all would take somebody out of prison and just say, here's the debit cards, here's the checkbook, here's the account, you handle all that, and you know what, I'll just worry about what we have in the cupboard when I come to the cupboard. You get the groceries, you pay the bills. How long do you think that would rock? I mean, my goodness. We'd get in this Bible and we disappear in reality. Could you imagine if Potiphar is the warden over the prison? Hey, who's that new guy you got running your house? I bought him out the Ishmaelites up there. What's he doing? He's running everything. Why in the world would the warden of the prison in the superpower of the time of Egypt let this guy run everything? You are a fool, my man. You're a foolish person. God's on this man. We've never had it so good. I trust him with everything I got because everything I have has multiplied since he's been here. Man, listen, do the right thing when there's nobody listening. Because you're saved, you got the Holy Spirit in you. And listen, be trustworthy. And when you say you're going to do something, do it. Do it right. When you give somebody your word, give it to them. Be honest about it and say, this is what we're going to do, and do it. Whew. Man, that goes a long way. That was free preaching. I don't know who needed that, but what's this right here? And it came to pass from time to time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, because of Joseph. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not all that he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I." Verse 9. Did y'all see that? We're going to get to the meat right here and I'll be done. You know what he's saying right there? He's saying to him, "Listen, I can do whatever I want to do. There is no restraints. There's nobody watching. There's no accountability on me. I'm a young man. I've been done wrong by all the people in my life that should have done right by me. But I'm going to have the right to do the right thing because here I am. I'm going to do the right thing." Amen. And we're going to get to the root of what he does the right thing for. But I wanted y'all to see that. I want you to get is, he was fully aware that he had no accountability. Right? As far as human beings go. He was fully aware, "I am the greatest person in the house." What he's saying is, "I've got all the responsibility. It all stops with me, and there ain't nobody watching." Amen? Let's go to verse 9. "There's none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" There is accountability there. His accountability is one person and one person only. You might want to write this one down. It's a big one. Realize that your whole life, God is watching. You don't need anybody else to hold you accountable more than God. If you live your life, and one thing about God that I have learned, he's everywhere. So if you ever find yourself in a situation where you're doing this right here, God's there. If you look to your left and you look around, see if anybody's seeing what you're doing, God is seeing. Joseph, a young man in a foreign country, done wrong by everybody he could do. Listen, guys, I could be all sugarcoat this out and give it to you. Man, he's standing in front of an opportunity that would be hard to turn down. He could make excuse after excuse. He could say, "Well, that old husband of hers, he ain't paying attention to her. He's left me under here. Yeah, I could do this, do that, get away with this." And listen, there aren't many opportunities. I don't know how to preach this being all like socially conscious. There are not many opportunities that the woman is making the advance on the man like this. Just saying, it don't happen like that very often. But guess what? It's happening here because guess what? That was the weakest link that he had in his life. If you don't think the devil's going to attack you in your areas of your life, you're wrong, sadly mistaken. Especially, you might want to write this one down, especially when you're doing it all right. When you're trying to live it right. When you're trying to walk it out right. Don't be surprised if the devil don't put something in front of you that's probably everything you want. Amen? We studied that last night, that the devil doesn't come to you with a pitchfork and tail and a red dragon. He comes to you in everything you've ever wanted. He is the most beautiful cherub. He comes to you with whatever you desire. He don't get ugly until you've already tried. Amen? It don't get ugly with the devil until it's over. Amen? Golly, I could preach. I wish I was in a different place right here. Man, have you ever had something beautiful and it's rotten? Goodness gracious, I don't even know where to go. Have you ever, man, people look and say, "Man, beautiful. Woo, amazing. I mean, man, I would dare to love to have what you got." And that person said they're going rotten to the core. God. Liar, thief, manipulator. Right? Man, I've got 40 different things right there. Just sometimes you can look at a car Man, I wish I had your car. And you go, I wish you'd take it. Right? Right? Everything on the outside is amazing. On the inside, it's terrible. Right? That's the easiest one I got. So maybe y'all can draw in the lines everywhere else. But he was living his life against God. He goes, I cannot sin against God. If you will live that principle right there, right? If you'll live that principle right there, you will have a very, very successful Christian walk. I want to give you one last verse. And you say, well, what does this all have to do with this being this old life as a part of the plan? And I go back to this verse time and time again in my own life when things get difficult. You don't have to go there. I'm going to go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. And I'm going to read this verse to you. And y'all just put yourself in the mind frame of Abraham. Abraham was standing there talking to God. And he told him, hey, y'all are going to go into captivity. Your seed is for 400 years. 400 years is longer than America's been a country. Amen? You're going to go into captivity as a slave for 400 years. So the people that you love and care about coming up the most, right? Your sons, grandsons, great-grandsons coming, they're going to be slaves. They're going to be a slave generation, slave nation. And he said, man, that's going to come to pass. I pray that, man, they can walk through that and do this and go. And I hope they just keep their eyes focused on Jesus, focused on God, trusting in their heart that God's faithful. Amen? We've got a promise that is a million times greater than that promise. And it was made by an angel as Jesus was ascending into heaven. So it wasn't just a message by a man who had faith in God. It was by a group of men who seen resurrected Jesus ascend up into heaven. And this is what he said. Which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Those men never seen the second coming of Jesus. We could, and some will. Amen? But it's coming. It's coming. So from this day forward, as believers in Jesus Christ, you show up on a Wednesday night, you need to mark it down in your life that we are going to be a part of the story of the second coming of Christ. There ain't nothing going to shake me. There's nothing going to deter me. There's nothing in this life that will ever make me quit serving God. I'm going to look up. I'm going to get my head up because not long from now, we're going up. Amen? And with that great promise, you should be able to do just like Joseph because we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, one part of the Godhead in us that he didn't have. That when you get in sticky situations, when life's not going your way, and you're hurting beyond hurt, you need to remind yourself and remind Jesus, I love you still. And yet no one goes with me, and no one follows me. I will follow you. Let's all stand.